Nutrition Business Today.
Nutrition Business Today.
Nutrition Business Today.
The facts, fiction, and future of nutrition with Tom Arts, co-founder of Nutrition Business Journal and managing director of Nutrition Business Advisors. Now here's the creator and host of Nutrition Business Today, Tom Arts.
Welcome to Nutrition Business Today. This is Tom Arts, and it's my great privilege today to welcome a really interesting guy that I've known for many years, Dr. Christopher Shade. Dr. Shade's a renowned authority on detoxification, and he's the creator of an extraordinary and inventive range of nutritional products that assist patients and individuals in managing one of the most critical components of maintaining good health, detoxification. We've talked about detoxification on my podcast in the past, but we're talking to one of the leaders and thought leaders in this space. Dr. Shade, I'm going to call him Chris because he's a friend of mine. He has a really, really good story of how he got into detoxing. Actually came from the environmental sector where, you know, mercury is a big problem in the environment. He has a PhD in biological, environmental, and analytical chemistry. And he's an expert in mercury and how it detoxifies from the body. You might remember one of our other episodes on glutathione with Dr. Gina Nick and Dr. Patel. Dr. Shade also knows a great deal about glutathione, and he delivers a fresh perspective on the benefits of glutathione and how he gets glutathione into the body to work on the detox pathways. So as you know, Nutrition Business Today, we try to cover science and business. We try to kind of mix where Shark Tank meets nutritional innovation. And in this case, sometimes I have the scientist on and the business guy. And in this case, Dr. Shade is both. He's the innovator. He's the scientist. He's the founder of the company. He's also the CEO. And he's also, you know, taken the company to pretty good heights of growth with some of his products. And the company is called Quiksilver Scientific. So Dr. Shade, Chris, it's a pleasure to have you here today. I have to disclose up front, like all academics do, that not only are you a friend of mine, but I've served as an advisor to you in the past on your board. And I've done that in the past, and I've helped you a little bit with your growth, but you've done it a lot without me. Your contributions to human health and to people out there, me personally and others, is extraordinary. I'm really happy to have you here. Thanks for joining me today on my podcast.
Oh, thank you so much, Tom. I'm glad we get to do this and talk about both the scientific and the healing aspects and the business aspects. Roll them all together.
Cool. And I know you travel a lot. So are you a home now? Or
yes, this is my living room behind me. I've got a flat tire and so I'm waiting to fix it. So I didn't go into the office. I'm home. I was on the road for 9 out of 10 weeks. I had trips. So I'm happy to be back with my feet on the ground.
Yeah, it does. It makes a big difference. You're in Colorado, right? Outside of
Yeah, in Lafayette, Colorado, about 10 miles from Boulder, 20 miles from Denver.
Well, Chris, my story with you goes back over a decade. I know I met you at one of the trade shows and heard you holding court once with all your knowledge and products. I was totally mesmerized. And I said, I really got to get to know that guy. And then we got to know each other. I helped a little bit when you were building the company. But tell me how you got into this field. You know, your story, I know you've said it a million times, but I know that my listeners would be really interested. How did you found Quiksilver, and how did you get to understand glutathione and detoxification?
You know, how did I found the company, or how did the company found me or find me? Often we think that we make these plans when we're like 3 years old and all through high school and college, and this is what I did, you know, and maybe some people it works that way, but most people it doesn't. I grew up, I was this very reductionist, kind of atheist scientist guy, and got into college and did a little bit of psychedelic therapy, and that all went out the window, and I became a much more emergent type of mind, and I was disillusioned with the environmental science that we were doing at the time, which was really just following around polluters and kowtowing to them and trying to hold them within certain limits. And so I went and got totally different. I became an organic biodynamic farmer. And so I was really into human health through making better food. And, you know, I joke that I went out of business as a farmer the year that Whole Foods was founded. And that may or may not be true, but it was right in that zone. There was no money to be made in it. And so I shifted over back into doing science. I got a master's and then a PhD, originally looking at pollution from agriculture. And then in my PhD, I shifted over to looking at mercury as a global pollutant, as a toxin circling through the environment. And you know, I was always an inventor. I'm always good at coming up with stuff. And this advisor said, hey, can you build a new analytical system for mercury that separates these two forms of mercury, methyl mercury from fish and biota and inorganic mercury in the environment coming down in the rain or geologic, and in us, that inorganic mercury is more from our dental amalgam. So I developed...
Wait, Chris, slow down just a little bit, because I know people are really interested in this, and because people say, oh, I've got mercury, but you're distinguishing between two types of mercury, inorganic and organic. Yeah. Inorganic is what's from your amalgams and
your
mouth.
Dental amalgams and methyl mercury you're getting from fish. And we can cycle back to this, but you know, just how did I get here? I patented some technology for separating different forms of mercury. It was like a much higher end analysis for mercury than was going on currently in integrative and functional medicine. And so I was like, well, I'll start my company after I get a job and make some money and get grounded. And I kept doing all this stuff. And I had a spiritual advisor who said, oh, yeah, you're going to move to Boulder and start your own company. I'm like, yeah, after I do all this other stuff. None of it worked. You know, I couldn't get that job. I couldn't get that appointment. I couldn't get this. And I just dropped right into Boulder. Tried to get a loan. I was naive then. They're like, yeah, I'll give you a $300,000 loan if you put $300,000 in my bank account. And, you know, so eventually I got my parents to foot the bill and started the company, and was first doing environmental testing, but I wanted to get over to doing human health testing, you know, testing people. And then that first crash of, or the latest big crash of 809 happened. And I had investors lined up to help me with the environmental stuff, and they just all had their money in real estate. They all just disappeared. And I was left with not a lot of money left, and I got to make things work. And so I jumped totally into clinical development. And I met like Hal Huggins and Dietrich Klinghardt, sort of these early luminaries in mercury toxicity, showed them what I had in testing, and then showed them what I developed around supplements to get mercury out of the body. And then, you know, just had to make that jump in the face of that economics uncertainty. And I was welcomed with open arms in integrative and functional medicine. And that's when we started selling the testing and then overlaying the products. And so at the time, the testing was bigger, and then the products and the testing were about the same. To make everything work, I had to make liposomes for glutathione, which we'll talk about. And that led me into doing liposomes and then nanoemulsions and all these nanoparticle deliveries that really is what we're famous for today. And now the testing is a small part compared to the supplements. So that's where I came from. You know, this environmental testing, this background in organic farming and human health, and then whipping the two together and starting this company that was originally about detoxification.
So I want to ask you about mercury in general and how big of an issue it is and a problem. But before I get there, let me throw you a challenging question. I'm sure you've had it many times. You started as a testing company with this unique test, which I've taken. I think it's called the tri-mercury test or something, where you do your hair
mercury
and your blood. And then you get a really cool graph that shows you have the two kinds of mercury and then how are you detoxified. But my question, I know you've heard this, is if you're a testing company, how are you able to sell the products? I know people get concerned about that. I don't think the regulatory authorities really care. I don't personally care, but there's always that question, oh, if he's doing the test, how can he sell the products?
Yeah, you know, there's always a bit of a paranoia about how the company is handling that, you know, and then neuroscience got into trouble because they would, hey, here's your results and here's all our supplements you can buy. And we just keep the two wings totally separate. So the guys who do the analytical have nothing to do with sales and marketing. They may also do analytical for like heavy metals in blood, heavy metals in supplements. They might do potency on the supplements, but they're just sort of blind to that whole world. And we have a lot of doctors who just use our supplements, don't use our testing, others that use our testing and don't use our supplements. So we've just sort of, they're two different bins in our world. And we don't know when they do before and after testing, we don't know if they're using our stuff or using other people's stuff. And so, you know, to me, it was like, I was such a PhD, I was like, how could you even imply that we could do something like that? That does not compute. And how would that work with our certifications? And like, what are you talking about? But I understand that that worry is out there, but that's how we handle it. And we have certifications to test the potency on our own supplements. And that's the kind of thing where everybody really wants a third party, but there is no good third party. The third parties for testing your supplements are taking in 30 different kinds of supplements, you know, and they want to test resveratrol and pills and capsules and drinks and our nanoemulsion, and they invariably get it wrong. And so all the big companies have labs inside, and there's special certifications for that to ensure the separation of church and state. And they come and they audit their way through every, not every analysis, but they pick so many of them and make sure that nothing is going on in there. So there is a bit of integrity that the company has to have. But if you want to be a great company, that's just the way everything's going to work.
That's a good answer. I think it's not the conflict that's the problem. It's the people behind the conflict and how you manage it.
Yeah, it is. And again, when we send the results, we don't say, and you should use all of our products.
Right. I saw that.
And then, yeah.
Well, before we get on to, I know you test for other things too, but I think, at least I'd be interested, I think my audience would be interested, how big a problem is mercury out there right now? I mean, I've dealt with it. I know that my friends like Jeff Bland, you know, when they got tested, all of a sudden they were like super high in mercury, and they said, okay, how much sushi are you eating? I think Tony Robbins was public about an issue he had with mercury.
Tony was public. Mark Hyman was public.
Yeah. So tell me how big, how many people is it impacting? I mean, Chanel is my producer here. I'm sure she's thinking, do I have high mercury? How do I find out? So how many people is it impacting, and how big a problem is it?
Well, it shifted over the last 20 years, where it was really affecting everybody because almost everybody had some of the silver fillings. The dental amalgams that we called silver fillings were 50% mercury. And one part of it was evaporating off of there, and you're inhaling it, it's going into your blood and circulating and poisoning the system. And the other form is like a rust or a corrosion product that you swallow, and that would disturb your GI and block detox. And amalgams are really bad that way, and they would interfere with your detoxification of so many different things, and plus their own inherent toxicity. And fish was there as a source of mercury, but a little bit less pronounced than now. The amalgams have gone down quite a bit. Their usage is down, and it's sort of a socioeconomic thing. You use that when you get Medicaid, but if you have regular insurance, everybody's doing the white fillings, really for cosmetic reasons. So the amalgam exposure is going down, fish use is going up, and it's not that the fish are getting more toxic, but we're getting more people, you know, with, as they become affluent, they eat the more expensive fish. You're eating the tuna steaks and the swordfish and the Chilean sea bass. And instead of coho salmon, you're eating king salmon. And the bigger the fish, the more the mercury that's in there. And so it's becoming a little bit more of an affluent thing to have that high poisoning. And that's, you know, the people we named, you know, it's like, they're pretty affluent. And so that's the shift. But it's always out there, and it's always, you know, every time I get back and work in more with it and start getting mercury out of people, it's like so revolutionary what you can do to their immune system, their mitochondria, their whole cardiometabolic wellness, and their brain and their emotional structure. You know, these metals, they make you paranoid, and you start projecting your inner toxicity on other people. We call it a toxic expression. And so the lower you bring these things, the clearer everything works. And so, you know, I've been watching you over time, and you're chopping away at that, bringing those levels down on all of them. And, you know, we all have a lot of things that, you know, are impacting us, but metals are really profound.
And it's more than mercury, right? So the other metals that you test for, or that
cadmium, arsenic, and lead. Okay. So mercury, cadmium, arsenic, and lead are known as your big four. Those are the worst. And there's a couple others, you know, nickel and strontium, or nickel and antimony, uranium, thallium. Those are a little bit more rare, but they can be a real problem. But if we go to those main four, you know, lead was just monstrous during, you know, the 50s, 60s, 70s, and that awareness that came with that. And then we started getting rid of the lead paint. We got rid of the leaded gasoline, because the one of the most disturbing data sets is the rise in violent crime with the rise in lead in the atmosphere from the leaded gasolines. Lead is a thuggish, dumb, drops IQ, raises violence. I mean, it was so highly correlated with violent criminals in jail. And so it's really good to see lead coming down out of the picture. Mercury is shifting, and it's sort of at your choice how much mercury you will want to put in yourself. But then these ones that are more distributed and hard to know how you're controlling them are cadmium and arsenic. And cadmium, even at not that high of a level, even the EPA says above 0.7 parts per billion in whole blood, you're lowering your lifespan. And, you know, when I talk on longevity, it's the cadmium data is the clearest on telomere attrition, shortening telomeres, which is causing mitochondrial dysfunction and cellular senescence. So cadmium, I'm seeing personally, me reviewing all the tests that come through, I'm seeing an uptick in cadmium in the last 2 years, and I'm not really sure why that is.
Yeah, I was going to ask you why, but I was also going to ask you the selfish question first. Is mine
it didn't flag me. It was arsenic and mercury for you.
Okay.
I'll go back and look, but I would have kept cadmium in my head for you.
So you don't know why it's bumping up, so you're concerned about that, but you're seeing a little bit of uptick. How many tests have you done, by the way? That's really interesting for me, because sometimes you can do all this analytical stuff, but if you've got, like, I think your data set is huge, right?
Yeah, for the mercury, there's well over 1,000 that went into the reference ranges, and then we update those. But we've done, upwards of, you know, maybe 50,000 tests.
Wow.
You know, and both that and the metals. So it's, you know, it's, yeah, these ranges aren't coming out of nowhere. We have a lot of experience with
it. All right. Well, let's switch gears. Every problem has a solution, right? That's what they say. You're a solutions guy. I've seen you go off into the lab and solve a lot of problems. What's your go-to supplements or your peptides? We'll get into peptides in a sec, but the first one is glutathione. I actually didn't know glutathione was a peptide. It's a tripeptide. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
any number of amino acids, anything more than one amino acid in a sequence, in a row, is a peptide.
So glutathione, that's one of your core go-to things? Yeah,
that's been...
Tell me about glutathione, a little bit about glutathione. We had an episode on it, but tell me your take on it. And then I believe Quiksilver has developed this liposomal version of ketoglutathione, which you take, you know, in a pump spray, and it goes liposomally into your bloodstream. So you could even get some of the same impacts as if you're getting an IV. Is that correct?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things to unpack there. You know, one is, you know, what's our go-tos for detox? And then, of course, glutathione is always going to be one of those. It is our flagship product. It is number one in sales, 360 days out of the year. And then liposomal delivery. So in, you know, detox, one of the biggest things you got to know is how to couple the movement of toxins from the tissues into the blood to the movement of bile out of the liver, because the bile transporters, which we think of for digestion, the bile is how all the toxins leave the liver. And so, that was a big movement forward to make things like our liver sauce, which has things that move toxins from the cells to the blood. It has things that activate the liver to pull the toxins into the liver. And it's got traditional bitters for moving the toxins out with the bile. So I'm a big advocate of using bitters with your meals whenever, you know, multiple times during the day to keep things flowing out of the liver, keep everything moving out of the liver. So this activating all these levels, the cell to blood, blood to liver, liver to bile, and then coming in with a binder afterward. These are things like charcoals, clays. IMD was the specific metal binder for metals that were created. That's the core of our detox, and we call it push catch. So push from the tissues, push through the liver, catch in the GI. So that's the core aspect. But then what are the single molecules that work in the body for detoxification? And broader than that, we call it chemoprotection. That's detoxification, antioxidant activity, and repair activity. And glutathione is sort of the master in there. And glutathione we make in our cells, and it has detox, has protein repair, it has free radical control. It's a core aspect of our immune response. Are we going to be allergic, or are we going to be hunt and kill all the little critters out there? And it's a big aspect of telomerase activity, and thus an aspect of our longevity. And so glutathione is something that's always just a little lower than we want it to be. We're too stressed. We're not, you know, we don't have all the right plant compounds coming in to keep everything going. Might not have enough protein. So we're always a little low on that. We want to get our levels up. And you can't eat it in a capsule because your peptidases break it down. And you're
so you're not a believer in this Kaiwahako's Cetria product, which
I mean, we know, like, if you're taking BPC 157, some of it'll get in and a lot of it'll get broken down. And okay. So if you're just taking Cetria in a capsule, so much of that is going to get broken down. And yeah, you have all the peptides in the right ratios, but you could have bought them a lot cheaper just individually. So how do you get the whole glutathione in? And that's where you're either going to do an IV or an intramuscular or a nebulizer, or you're going to go to a liposome. And a liposome.
Could it be and/or, Chris? Because I'm like a big believer in taking everything humanly possible. So I inject it in MIM. I push it when I get an IV. Yeah. I take your liposomal product religiously. I take the Cetria because I'm thinking I'm on the road. I mean, whatever. So I do it topically. So I might have too much glutathione. Can you have too much glutathione?
No, your body will self-regulate. It'll keep you from going too high, and then you'll slow down your endogenous production. But, you know, the way we are now, I think we can really handle a lot going in. And so what are the issues? So first, a liposome is like making a tiny cell. It's a hollow vesicle made with a phospholipid bilayer that you make from phosphatidylcholine. And if you make these small enough, they'll have a little droplet of water in the middle with some glutathione in it. And if they're small enough, they'll absorb right across the oral cavity into the capillaries under the cheeks and under the tongue. And then what you swallow will absorb in the stomach and the upper GI, and you'll get a bunch of glutathione into the system, into circulation. Now, one of the interesting things, some Japanese doctors did a study using our glutathione against the push, and they did 600 milligrams either way, and they measured 6 hours later. Now, if they'd measured 10 minutes later, the IV would have won by a lot, but 6 hours later was a measure of how much it incorporated into the system. Wow. And they got a 15% rise from the IV, but a 30% rise from the liposome. And even with a liposome, you can't get everything in. With liposome, you're lucky if half's in the liposome. But it gets in because it's in these phospholipid vesicles. They can interact and actually fuse with the membranes in the body and become part of the body's stores much more easily. And even in cell culture studies, liposomes were shown to have 100-fold better ability to get into a cell than just aqueous glutathione like you would get from an IV of glutathione. So liposomes do a lot more than just help it get into the body. They help it integrate into the body. So they're the best long-term solution. But then these, you know, punctuated things like the IV or the intramuscular are very helpful as well. And precursors, you know, like N-acetylcysteine, there's a cooler one coming out that we're going to start working with, or whey protein or just cysteine, those do help raise your levels. But if the body's really stressed already, maybe you've got mold toxicity, you've got a little Lyme disease, you've just got overwhelming general toxicity, you've got adrenal fatigue, then it's hard for you to make enough glutathione from the precursors. So then the liposome is a better way to get it in. Or when you're in a real radical detox, you're just going to have to keep replating that glutathione. So the liposomal glutathione is the best way to go then.
Nutrition Business Advisors. Strategic and capital connections to improve your business. We help our clients by facilitating strategic relationships throughout the industry, conducting custom market research projects, such as the size and the trends of the astaxanthin supplement market, and portfolio analysis, business planning, and competitive landscaping to help prepare your business for sale or investment. To hear more about our services or get in touch, visit nutritionbusinessadvisors.com. That's nutritionbusinessadvisors.com.
Okay, welcome back. This is Tom Arts, and today I'm having a really exciting conversation with Chris Shade, Dr. Chris Shade, who's the founder of Quicksilver Scientific, who's doing a lot of work in detoxification with glutathione and liposomal delivery products. We started to speak a lot about the liposomal delivery right before the break. I guess I would ask you, are there any cons to the liposomal delivery, a pros and cons? I mean, I know, yeah. I know you're a believer in it. Is there any, you know, if somebody's is skeptical, are they saying, oh, does that really work? Or what are people saying that, you know, are concerned about liposomal technology? I've heard some stuff. I don't think it's true, but I'd love you to lay it out for us.
Yeah. So, you know, pros and cons. Pros, it's bioavailability, the total amount in. And when we say liposomes, that's really a general term. Some of these are liposomes, some are nanoemulsions, some are microemulsions. You know, they're all slightly different particle types. And, you know, at their best, with their promise, you know, you can get, like Quercetin, 25-fold higher bioavailability, CBD 6-fold, curcumin, it's hundreds of fold. And you don't just get more in, you get it in very quickly. And so you can get all your different compounds to hit the targets all at the same time. So the dream of it is that you get a lot of things all at once working on a single problem, and you can stage different things through the day. We're going to do this, then we're going to do that, then we're going to do that. And that is awesome. Now, sometimes you don't want to use a liposome because you need to get so much into the system. You're putting grams in when you're trying to get very, very high loading. And especially when the bioavailability difference isn't all that great. Oh, 1.5 times more absorption. Well, it's cheaper to just use 1.5 times more or 2 times absorption. Well, use 2 or 3 times more. So there's times where it just doesn't make sense. You're not getting enough into the system. And, you know, people are like, oh, should we do a liposome of a probiotic? Like, why? That's not, you don't want to get it into the system. And, or liposomes of fish oil that just can't, you already absorb it pretty well. We just can't get quite enough in there to really matter. So there's,
so you can't, it's not like a hammer and a nail, like, oh, let's liposomalize everything. You know,
everything.
It's like, okay, yeah.
But then you get to something like the new peptides. You know, peptides are harder and harder to get from injectables. At the same time, we're finding their vast benefits. And so we'll probably be moving a lot of those over to a liposomal format as FDA clamps down on injectables of these. And so that's some of the new exciting stuff that's coming up. But then in terms of, like, you know, these fears that, you know, I forget, Andrew Hall or something like that, he was winding up. It was funny. He was selling nanoparticles of ethoxylated castor oil, which is really not good for you at all. And he was saying that liposomes will give you cancer, you know, but your ethoxylated castor oil won't. Like, what's going on with you there? You know, at the most, you can sort of overload your lymph nodes if you're just, like, taking, like, tons of them all day long.
So on liposomal stuff, I mean, I think, since you mentioned it, let's just dive in, because I don't want to run out of time. I definitely want to talk about peptides. But as a segue to that, talk about some of the new things that you're working on beyond glutathione, beyond detox products. And then let's just dive into peptides, because I'm very interested in peptides, Chris. I would say the two big interest levels for me this year, and I spend a lot of time you know, predicting the future and trying to get ahead of the future, as you know, as part of what I do. But this year, for me, it's all about mushrooms and peptides, the functional mushrooms plus the other kind of mushrooms, but also peptides. And so I think peptides are going to be huge. You mentioned that the injectables are going to be clamped down on. I 100% agree. You can't even, you know, move peptides. You can't even sell them into California. They do work when you inject them with a little, you know, insulin needle. I know they work because I've tried them. PPC-157, PT-141, you know, they have lots of weird names, but those work. But if we can get peptides to work orally, and I've seen capsules, peptides, I'm skeptical. Then I think we open up a whole new field of medicine, and we also protect ourselves from the pharma industry taking over. I mean, you know, Ozempic is a peptide, semaglutide, right? It's a peptide. They took it. It's a drug. It's theirs. Pharmaceutical company's going to say, F you, you can't have it. But if we can develop a nasal delivery or liposomal delivery, tell me what you think about that. Because I think you have a huge future in peptides.
Yeah, absolutely. They have to move to being taken as a supplement because the drug companies are going to take them all as being drugs. So we need to have them as supplements before they take each one to be a drug. And they can easily get the FDA to stop the compounding of these, and compounding is how you really get them these days. So they are amazing in their efficacy of what they can do, especially in the anti-aging longevity world, and also in the repair. There's some immune things, the BPC-157. So now we're starting to see some of these go into oral formats, and capsules would be good for some things, but not for others. So BPC-157, a lot of its mode of action is repairing tight junctions in the GI tract and increasing integrity of the barrier system in the GI tract. So the capsules would be good there. But if I want to rebuild a disc, you know, or a joint that I hurt, then I'm going to need to go to a liposome. And we've done some of the early proof of concept with them, and then we just have to move or, you know, lock down some of the supply chain so that we can take a number of these into use in the oral. Now, one of the challenges is going to be showing that they work the same way orally as they do in the injectable.
How do we do that? How do we show that?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we're working on. What are the biomarkers of activity that we can show that correlate with its use and things that we've seen in the injectable? So maybe we'll look at telomere length, you know, and using Epitalon is really good for that. But we're trying to figure out what those markers are for different ones, and so that we can get some of these up and going. So intraoral liposomes are the dietary supplement way. Intranasals, whether in liposomes or just dissolved, are a compounding pharmacy way to go. Now, ideally, it would be an intranasal liposome, but
doesn't that get classified as a drug if it goes nasally and, you know,
compounding?
But if I took a C-Lonc or C-Max or whatever, if I took it nasally and it goes into my nasal cavity, is it by definition a drug or a dietary supplement, or is it a gray zone?
It's a drug.
Okay.
And that's why it has to go through a compounding pharmacy, because injecting it is a drug. And so you're still in the compounding pharmacy, you're within the drug realm. It's just these weirder laws where they can compound these things that the doctor wants. The doctor wants this form of it, not the drug form or some form that's not available. And that's why compounding laws exist, so compounders can make those things as drugs. Dietary supplement has got to go in the mouth and be eaten. You cannot, up the nose is not a dietary supplement. So it'd be this intraoral and upper GI absorption of liposomes of these peptides. And so that's where we're moving forward. And a lot of the pharmacies are moving towards intranasals. And I think some of the pharmacies can also work together on either liposomes intranasal or doing the oral liposomes.
Okay, good. So what are you working on that you can share with us that's not confidential, that so you'd have to kill me if you told me?
Yeah, and all of our listeners. Like,
that's all right,
You know, if you look at the breakdown of our company, you know, we're detoxification heavy. And so, you know, detoxification is over 40% of all the products that we make. And below that are metabolic. And if longevity, it goes metabolic, then immune and calming, then longevity and hormones. But longevity and hormones are really metabolic things. And so you put those all together, and it all together adds up to very close to detoxification. So it's detox, then metabolism and longevity, then immunity and calming stuff. And it's really in that longevity metabolic world where I'm most excited about. We have a lot of things like our keto product puts you into ketosis. We're working on developing a lot of those products have senolytic activity. We're working on building more of that senolytic activity. We're getting more data. You know, now it goes back to detox again. We got a bunch of data on reversing biological age using detox and metabolic approaches. So those are really fun, but the biggest entry into that we're hammering on right now is a female hormone system. And we're able to handle all female hormones through a intraoral liposome of DHEA and pregnenolone with some adaptogens and nutraceuticals that modulate where the hormones go, so that in women's it builds up DHEA and builds up testosterone very, very nicely. And then topical solutions, topical serums under cosmetic laws for progesterone, estriol, and estradiol. And so together we have the whole female hormone system taken care of. And this can go through compounding pharmacies sold out in front of the pharmacy, because these don't need scripts. They can be bought by practitioners who want to address female hormone issues. And then instead of going through pharmacies for compounding prescriptions, they can buy these directly. And I think that is, you know, it really could be the biggest product line that we've ever made. And we have a lot of data on it. It works like a charm. We've had
This is the hormone system you're talking about.
This is the hormone system. Yeah. And so I think that is the biggest thing that we have. We've got it all developed and it's all out on the market, but you know, we're building a whole learning management system around it where we'll get people, you know, say, you know, you're not trained up heavily on hormones, but you want to do this, you can go through our training system and learn how to use these, learn the basics of the hormone system, get certified there, and then go start using these. So, you know, you introduce the solution and you introduce the training around how to use it.
So let's switch gears just a little bit, unless there's anything on the product side that you left off. I think this is fascinating for people to hear about this sort of, like, my whole view is like the more we can get nutrients in people's bodies in the right way, the better off they're going to be. And I'm a big believer in some of these advanced nutrient delivery. Oh, I did want to ask you one question. You started with your practitioners. You did the testing, Chris, and then you cited products through practitioners. Are these products too sophisticated for direct consumer? I know you've experimented there a little bit. Or how's that working for you from a business standpoint?
Well, branded Quiksilver branded products, 55% practitioner, 45% consumer.
Wow. Amazon? Yeah. Amazon?
Like Amazon, direct to consumer. We do more direct than we do through Amazon. But Those two are our biggest players, and then high-end retail. Retail like the ex-pharmaca places where they sell professional supplements. So here's the deal. There's always been a problem between professional and consumer. And, you know, even some of the old standbys like Zymogen, I'll never sell to the consumer, are now on Amazon.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I mean, I just saw, like, me and Jonathan Lazat and, you know, a couple others, Paul, the guy from Thorne, forget his name.
Paul Jacobson.
The three of us saw it a long time ago, like, Amazon's breaking that whole mode. We got to go out there and represent ourselves. And I, at the same time, I had tremendous call from the grassroots when I was a mercury detox guy. These sick people, they saw how bad chelation was and they wanted our solution, and the doctors weren't giving it to them. And so I'm like, fine, I'm going to start selling direct to you. So my clientele is extremely savvy in supplements. They're either people who were really sick and had to learn all that. Those people who were like, you know, really couldn't work anymore, they learned more than the doctors about all this stuff. So I got them. Then I got the biohackers who just want to know everything. Then I got the professional athletes and the CEO, the C-suite people. Those are my clients. and they know enough about this stuff to use this. Now, there's still a handful or two handfuls of products that are practitioner only. They're more around, you know, like a liposomal EDTA and straight metal detox stuff and some of the hormones things. Those have to go through practitioners. But by and large, we found out that our consumers were savvy enough to do this stuff. And when we started trying to, you know, really hit Facebook and really grow consumer, it really didn't do a whole lot of good for us, because, you know, the people who loved us found us and knew us. And so all of our language is just straight to practitioners now, and the savvy people who want to participate in that come and participate.
Good. I mean, you know, there's a big, some of the companies that are still saying, oh, we're a practitioner brand, and they haven't really figured out how to cross the chasm.
All you've got is Ortho left.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're saying, well, we could go on about this, but they're saying, you know, because we've reported the data through MBJ for a long time, and they're saying, well, you know, it's okay that, you know, you're having all these companies, but don't call them practitioner companies. Or if there's a certain percentage of sales that you said 45, 55, there's, you know, some people have said, oh, if it goes over 55 or 60%, then they're not really a practitioner brand anymore. But I don't agree with that. I just think that consumers want the products anywhere, any place, anytime. Somebody once told me forget channels. It's like channel lists. They just want the products.
They want the products. Some will get it through doctors. Some will come get it direct, or they get it through doctors when they're under their care, and then they leave their care, and then they come direct, and they keep getting that. And then if you add in like our private label contract manufacturing, that's almost exclusively practitioners. So we're, you know, practitioner slanted, but for Quiksilver brand, 55% practitioner, 45% consumer.
Good. And you do all your own manufacturing, right?
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of capsules are made offsite at other places, but all the liquids, all the delivery tech, that's all done on site.
Last question, and then I'll leave it open if I forgot anything. Put your CEO hat on for a sec, entrepreneur. Tell me, I always ask this question, you know, like, what's keeping you up at night running your business? And then more importantly, you know, tell us some of the challenges you've had growing your company. What have been the biggest challenges that, you know, you need to, you know, go home and after a hard day and actually take some mushrooms because, oh my God, running a company is a pain in the ass. So what are the pain in the ass parts of running a company?
We'll take the number one away because it's the number one for everybody, and it's people.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Throw that one out.
Okay. I had a CEO once tell me, like he said, once he got to like 10 people, then he started having people issues. He said, I feel like a freaking psychologist now, you know?
Yeah, totally. And that is true. Like in the beginning, people weren't my problem. And then you got a lot of people. And then no problem.
Yeah.
But whatever. Every CEO has that. So in our growth, I had all this high tech stuff. And in the beginning, I really didn't know jack about business. And then Peter came in. I learned a lot from him. You know, I learned a lot from just being in the trenches and doing everything. So I'm pretty savvy at this point. But in the beginning, everything grew because we had the coolest stuff. And all the early adopters came in and just grew the thing up, and you know, and we just went up and up and up, and then it sort of like slowed down. I'm like, geez, what's the problem? But I didn't have any salespeople out there pounding the pavement, so it was just the early adopters who were coming to the shows and want to know all that stuff. And so we sort of plateaued a little bit, it grew a little bit, you know, had a huge bump with COVID, and then just holding that has been has been a feat, and so that's been nice. But it was so clear that when it's just like I was the sales guy, and you're going to go and you're going to hit a point of diminishing returns, and we got there, and you know, Tony Barrs, who came and he's leading the practitioner sales for us, came over from Microbiome, and he said the same thing. You know, Karan and Tom running around, and then it sort of plateaus, and then you need the guys on the ground. And so we have 11 boots on the ground, 22 boots, but 11 people in different areas, and they're just bringing in all kinds of new interest from other practitioners. So that was our personal thing, and this next stage of growth will really work nicely. But you know, the global economy is the bitch right now. You know, first there was that, you know, the year of Putin and Ukraine, and then crashing out the global, crashing out the global M&A activity, and then that, you know, big run on inflation, the big run on
and then supply chain for you,
supply like chain, I, supply yeah. chain was just horrible during COVID, and it's pretty okay now. Supply yeah. chain is not an issue now. Now it's maintaining demand and staying relevant as, you know, inflation keeps going up, interest rates keep going up. You know, how do you, cost control is a huge deal. I mean, we already did two price raises. I can't do any more. The ingredients are going up. Now you need laser focus on costing and where you can save money without ever compromising quality. And so, you know, the fear is around demand. And our European distributors got crushed with the Ukraine war. I mean, they went down like 40%, and they're just creeping up, even though the markets are said to be, you know, coming back nicely in Europe. We don't see the spending really good there. And so, you know, spending and staying, you know, like staying up at the people with the people who have the money and maintaining all that during this difficult period. Those are the hardest things.
That's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. But you're growing, right? You're doing well. I know you're doing well. Well, I'll leave it there because we definitely have gone over. But that's good because this is great information. I really appreciate you're so articulate, and I know our listeners will learn a lot from this. Anything that you want to that I forgot to ask you that you want to end with or say that I didn't ask you about? I'm sure there's a lot of things, but.
There's always a lot of things, but you know, the key for me and keeping myself going through all this, I just got to keep having fun and knowing we're doing good things for people.
That's good. Well, yeah, that's my philosophy too. You know, make people better and have fun along the way. Be yellow. Yeah. So with that, Chris, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Your friend, your brother, and thank you personally for also helping me. Not only most people wouldn't know this, but you're also an incredible intuitive person, intuitive healer. So I've been the beneficiary of that, and I think you really care about people's health. That comes clear no matter what. So thank you personally, and thank you for all you're doing in the industry to make people better. And what's the website at the end? www.quicksilverscientific.com.
Quicksilverscientific.com.
Quicksilverscientific.com. So thanks very much. You can look Chris Shade up on YouTube, see any of his lectures if you couldn't track everything. And thank you very much to you for today. And thank you to Chanel for helping me produce this. Have a good night. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Nutrition Business Today with creator and host Tom Arts. We welcome your feedback. Email us with your comments, questions, and suggestions. NutritionBusinessToday@gmail.com. And if you like the show, please give us a 5-star rating and don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss a single episode. Nutrition Business Today is produced in collaboration with Navigator Digital Media. And I want to thank our staff at Nutrition Business Advisors. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.